different this morning, splitting up the men and women. Miss Valerie's going to preach in the back, and Brother Daniel's going to preach up here. So,
y'all going to get it easier.
So we're thankful. We're finishing up family revival this morning, so I appreciate Brother Daniel and his family, and they've been a blessing to our church, and so I'm thankful he stayed over this morning to teach us this morning. They're going to sing again in the morning service, but I'm going to go ahead and say a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for loving us, God. We thank you for being good to us, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, and grace and mercy. And Father, we pray for the few requests we had this morning, Lord, back in the men's room. And Lord, pray for Brother Tim this morning. He's not feeling well. Brother Bobby's working, God. And Lord, there may be others this morning that aren't feeling well. Pray, God, you be with them and touch them, Father. And we just thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, pray for Brother Daniel. You'd fill him with your spirit, God. Use him as he teaches us, Father, with Miss Valerie in the back, all the other Sunday school classes, Lord. May you be honored, lifted up, magnified with everything that's said and done today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Right. Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you again this morning. We sure enjoyed the week and the weekend, and it's been a pleasure to be back with you at White Oak. I know our family got some help this week, and I'm thankful for that. You can take your Bibles, a familiar passage to get started. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We'll jump at verse 10. Everybody knows that one. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Say a quick word of prayer. Father, again, we ask for your help, Lord. You know, we can't make it without you, Lord. We can't breathe the next breath of air, Lord, without you, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll speak through us and to us, minister to us from your word. Lord, we're sure thankful for the word of God, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, the familiar text here, Apostle Paul is beginning to teach here about, you know, Jews and Gentiles and about being lost and all's under sin and all under, and begins to break all these things down and just really show us really where we're at before we know Christ, before we get this justification, this redemption, and as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And then he just begins to tell us how really dirty that we are. And that's what the nature of man is. I mean, just all going out of the way, all unprofitable, all throats open sepulchers. He just continues to go. And he really explains why, I think, in verse number 18, when he says, there's no fear of God before their eyes. And as I said yesterday, we were preaching the young people and began to look around, even this morning in the hotel. I noticed people, you know, even coming to breakfast, just they didn't have enough clothes to make a good Band-Aid on. And, you know, and I got my boys there looking at the ground. And I recognize, truly, we live in a day where there's no fear of God. I mean, it's everywhere. You know, we're eating breakfast. I mean, it's just funny, just the little things. We're eating breakfast, and they got these little individual wrapped biscuits in the thing. And, of course, you know, they're on the back of them, the proud LGBTQ owner, you know, and buy all these, I don't know what all those letters were and all those things, but they were that. And they were proud of it. Had some man looked like a woman on the cover of the little biscuit wrapper. I mean, they're just brazen. They're just proud of who they are. Why? They don't fear God. Amen. They do not fear God. And that quote here that Apostle Paul's making refers back to Psalms 36, when the psalmist says, "The transgression of the wicked say within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." You look around everywhere, and you're looking for the fear of God. It's hard to find. Amen. It's hard to find. I mean, just everywhere I look, And people don't even have a biblical worldview anymore. Used to, you know, several years ago, folks had some general idea of some morality, but it's just out the window now. And the further we've gotten away from the book, and you know, we removed that. We didn't want the book. You know, we preach against that. They didn't want the book in the school, and they didn't want it in the courthouse. We see what's happened. And you know, they want to get rid of Christians. Hey, one of these days they're going to get rid of us. Amen. We're going to get that shout and we're going to be out of here. And we see what's going to be left, a mess. Amen. But there's no fear of God before their eyes. But the problem is that, I'm not talking to the world today. I'm talking to the church. But if we're not careful, this no fear of God will creep into the church. Amen.
Right.
And we'll, because we Like just Lot over there, but we'll get vexed with that seeing and hearing of that wicked every day, and we'll just get so used to it. They used to sing an old Southern gospel song. Y'all probably remember it. It was called Getting Used to the Dark, you know. And sometimes we're just around so much, and we're not even, you know, it's just normal now, you know. Right. It's normal to see people go out in less than underwear out in public. I mean, it's to wear the long, you know, what if I come up here in my long johns today, you know, to preach like these folks wear around, you know. It'd be a shame, but I mean, it's common now to see church folks. I mean, that's how they dress, their wives dress. Right. You know, I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying what's the problem? There's no fear of God, amen. There's no fear of God. And so there's a lot of debates about what is the fear of the Lord and what it's not. But I think the Bible always defines itself. So let's look in Proverbs chapter 8 real quick this morning. We're going to do a little quick Bible study this morning with three thoughts here. And if you want a title, it's called No Fear, No Faith, and No Fruit. And I believe sometimes it's the state of the church. And I thank God for good churches like this one. I believe I'm in a good church. But even us in my life, I have to be careful. When you end up with no fear of God in the church, and we don't have any faith, then we become a church that produces no fruit.
Right.
And that's what we want to try to keep from happening. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, it tells us what the fear of the Lord is. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. If I fear God, then I hate evil. That's what the Bible says.
Amen. Amen.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. We understand that I can't hold hands with the world and hold hands with God. It doesn't work. They don't mix. It's oil and water. I remember one time we were up in Alaska. We were going on the Tanana River, I think, this time. And it's a nasty river. It's all glacier silt. And when you're in the boat, you can just hear it hitting it, sand. You can stick your hand in the water, and it's like getting sandblasted. And they told us when we got in there, they said, look, if you fall in the water, you're in a mess. Well, they said, because the glacier silt will fill your clothes and it'll pull you under. And they said, what do you do? I said, what do you do? They said, do your best. It's a mess. They said, life jacket probably won't even hurt because it'll help because it'll fill up with silt. I said, well, you know, really, what do you do? They said, don't fall in. That's what you do. You don't fall in. I said, okay. So this had nothing to do with my point, but as I was telling you this, my dad and I were here, and there's another pastor with us, Brother Daryl Serino. He pastors out of Barrow, Alaska. He grew up on the North Slope in the Arctic. He never swam a day in his life because, I mean, you don't swim in the Arctic. Eh? And he looks over at me and says, Brother Daniel, I can't swim. I said, well, they said it didn't matter anyway. So so we're all going to sink, so don't worry about it. But anyways, I remember this, and some have seen it in the ocean. But we come down this Tanana River, and we come to this other river called the Healy River. And the Tanana was running. It was nasty, but this Healy River was a freshwater river. And where the two come together, they wouldn't mix. It was like day and night. This river was flowing, and this one met. And it was a defining line between the two rivers. And I've seen that before. You've seen it before in the seas and things where they met. But the two wouldn't mix. It was amazing. And that's the way the world is. And the church should be from the world. But we now realize that's not happening. Well, we've mixed. We've blended. And because of that, you know, when we've thrown out the fear of God, we don't hate evil and we hate pride. He didn't say hate people. He says to hate evil and pride and arrogancy. I got that. And the evil way, in the forward mouth, do I hate. That's what the fear of the Lord is. We can all debate about, well, it's holy reverence and all that stuff or whatever, but I know this, that it is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Okay? So I recognize in my life, when I'm cozying up to the world, that I am not fearing God. I know that much, amen, because that's what the Bible says. Of course, there's many things it says, you know, fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. Fountain of life, over and over again, instruction of wisdom. There's verses in Proverbs that teach us about the fear of the Lord. But I'm interested in my life to make sure that I'm in the fear of the Lord. And how do I get the fear of the Lord? Well, look in Proverbs. You're there, chapter 2, and verse number 5 is our verse. If you read for context, verse 1, my son, if, there's that little big word, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Here's our verse. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you'll do what? You'll get in the book, man. The fear of the Lord comes from the Word of God, man. Why don't we fear God? Well, because we don't read His Word.
Right.
Because we don't see, because when we see God in His Word, we see that He's holy, holy, holy. We see that God Jesus came to put away sin. And the more we see Him and the more He's lifted up in our lives and magnified in this book, then we see how dirty the world really is. But if we don't get in the book, you know as well as I do, then we get used to these things around us. We get to measure things by others. We even measure others by ourselves. Well, they're in worse shape than I am. You know, I'm better than them. Or we're not as bad as those. Or this isn't so bad, you know. My kids will say, I want to watch a movie. So-and-so said it was okay. It only has one curse word in it. I said, well, how many's too many? You know?
Right.
Well, there's one. I've heard that one before. It's okay. No. It's not okay. You know? And I say, I have this policy. Well, that's some things the kids shouldn't watch, but it's okay if me and my wife watch. Then the Lord said, no. The kids can't watch it. Why would you watch it? Right? Is God holier for them than He is for you? Right? Now, what was to happen? The problem was I didn't have a fear of God. You know, I'll pick on me. I won't pick on you. I know y'all are good folks, but you know what my dad always says. I know you got your halo in the car, but I can recall, you know, just really living for myself. I mean, saved in church, even called to preach, but I go to work every day. When I get home, I had the same TV programs I watched at 5 o'clock every day. You know, I just lived my life and not walking with God. And I was so dumbed down during that time, I think, to some of the things. Even I look back now and say, man, some of the things I watched and some of the things I did, I was like, man, you know, how would I do that? Well, the problem is I wasn't in the book, man. And then I wasn't walking with God. And the more you do that, the Lord begins to instruct you. He said, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. When you hide His commandments with you, when you incline your ear unto wisdom, when you apply that heart to understanding, when you cry after knowledge, when you begin to seek it, then, if, then, right? Well, we don't have it, and we say, well, I don't know why we don't have it, because we don't do the if, right? We don't get to the then if we don't do the if, right? And I know y'all are Bible church and you read together and those things, but I'm telling you, we don't got to do more than read it. We got to apply it. Right? We got to put it down in our hearts. Amen. I can read it and fix everybody else in the world. All right, it's easy. I can read it and tell you what Brother Andrew's problem is right now. That's what preachers are good at. But God's got to say, no, that's your problem. All right. And I say, Lord, show me. Show me this week. Told my family when we came, you know, we came. We get to sing. We get to preach and praise to God for that. But we came to get some help. We didn't come to fix anybody or to minister, per se. We came to get some help from God. And if doing so, maybe God will allow us to be a blessing to someone. Hey, I'm selfish sometimes about that. You know, I know we need something because I don't have anything in me. I don't have anything to pour out. But I want the fear of God, and it comes from the Word of God. But not only the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, the fear of the Lord comes from the Word of God. But when I recognize when I have no fear of God, then I have no fear of sin. Yeah. And that's the reason why we're in the position that we're in. Well, that's not so bad. Well, you know, it's all right. Why? What happens? Because we don't fear God. Therefore, we don't fear sin. Let's look at Nehemiah real quick. You'll see an example in the Bible. Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. It always amazes me. You win every Bible drill and you get up here to preach and you can't find books of the Bible. I'm like, man, where is it? Nehemiah chapter 5, if y'all ever been here, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, 660 on mine, sorry. Nehemiah chapter 5. So Nehemiah's been appointed here, an office there in the land, and he's over in charge of collecting here as a governor. In verse 15, we'll just jump there. But the former governors, he's talking about those before him, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I. Why? Because of the fear of God. So these other guys before them were crooks. These other guys would make deals with the people, and these other guys would take of them, and they'd maybe bribe them a little bit, take their wine and take their stuff. He said, hey, I didn't do those things. Well, why didn't he do those things? Because he feared God. Amen. Fear of God will keep you from sinning. Hey, we ought to do it, honestly, because we love God. Sometimes we do. But sometimes, honestly, I just do it because I fear God. Because it's just what's right to do. Amen? It's just what's right to do. There's things that I'm not going to do. There's lines that I've drawn because of the fear of God. Amen? Yeah. Hey, Christians ought to be the best employees in the world. They really ought to be. Right. I mean, you know, what about a testimony? Nobody has a testimony more. You know, Christians ought to be the ones that come to work on time, that show up early, that do more than is required of them. Why? Because we're representing not only us, we're ambassadors of the King. Amen? Hey, fear of God says, I'm not going to crook my boss. I'm not going to shave a few minutes off the clock. I'm not going to, you know, do these things. I'm going to honor God in what I do. And when I honor God in what I do, and I'm telling you, just like Joseph of old, you've seen it as well as I've done, experienced in your life, God will promote you. God will take care of you, amen? Every place I've been, and I'm not giving me glory, I'm giving God. The Lord has allowed us to have a good testimony, and in doing so has allowed us to be, you know, promoted. And, you know, and I know it's just God. A guy asked me one time about my job. I estimate we sell metal buildings, and so I price the buildings. I do takeoffs on them, and he said, man, how does all these things you bid? How do you get all these jobs you bid, you know? And I get a lot of jobs I bid. And I said, honestly, you want to know the secret? Yeah, I want the secret, you know. What is it? I said, all right, let me tell you the secret. I pray. He said, what? I said, I pray over every job I quote. He said, no, for real. I said, no, really. I pray. I quote this. I put it on this piece of paper, and I say, Lord, every time before I send it out, Lord, would you please bless this? And I also say this. I have to cover myself. Lord, if I messed up on this thing, please help it not to sell, you know. That way I don't get burned. And, I mean, you know, hey, that's my secret, you know, to success. Just give it to God. And I believe God cares about those things. And God's blessed and used it because he knows. And now I'm not lifting me up. I'm just careful to do this stuff. You use yourself for example. You're like you're somebody. I'm not somebody. I'm nobody. But I do. I have recognized that God, what God has done, not what I've done. Amen. I recognize that through this particular company that I work, that God's used and blessed me. And I recognize he's done that because I asked him to do it because I wanted to make some money to give to missions. I wanted to make some money to be, you know, and I said, Lord, I want to, Lord said, double your faith promise. I said, Lord, double my faith promise. That's huge. And he said, no, double your faith promise. So this year we had faith promise meeting and April, and I said, no, I don't, you know, Lord, that's more, and that's like more than my house payment. I mean, this is like, Lord, I can't do this. Lord said, it's not about what you can do, it's what I can do. So as soon as I did it, and I'm not giving me glory, I'm telling you, I'm just giving you what God will do. I trusted God with it. I said, all right, put it on the card. The next day, $5 million job sales. The bonus on it covers faith promise for the year. I mean, the next, I'm talking about day. And that's what God will do, amen? And I'm just telling you, when you put God first and you honor God, and again, I'm not lifting me up. I'm just telling you, you can trust God, amen? And then after I did that, I said, man, I probably should have done more, amen? Because, man, just the overflow of the goodness of God. But that's what Nehemiah recognized. Hey, he said, I fear God, and because of that, I'm not going to beat these folks. Because of that, I'm not here whining and dining with the world. Because of that, I'm going to honor God in what I do. And no doubt, because of that, God was able to bless him. Amen. Because of the fear of the Lord. No fear of God, we have no fear of sin. Amen. I begin to see these things, because when we see this thing, well, that's not so bad, or I don't mind doing that. And we get these sins that does so easily beset us. What's the problem? The problem is I don't fear God. Because fear of God will, the Bible says, will keep me from sinning. Proverbs 16, verse 6, by mercy and truth, you can turn there. Proverbs 16, verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Fear of the Lord gets me out of that evil, keeps me clean. We set boundaries and things in our lives by the fear of the Lord. Again, folks, we know the world's nasty. If you're looking for them to fear God, they're not going to do it. I mean, it's just not. I told you yesterday, just me and my wife walking around, I just noticed it last night. I mean, it's just everywhere. The world's just in a mess. And you say, man, just, you know, shame on them. They're going to hell. No, shame on us. It's our job to shine the light. Amen. We got to win them. All right? And if we're expecting them to do what's right, they're not going to do it. Amen. Hey, and you and your flesh aren't going to do what's right. Amen. If you walk in the flesh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But he that walks in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, if I don't walk in the fear of the Lord and walk in the Spirit, then I'm capable of doing just what they're doing. Right? You know, so I'm not saying, hey, I'm better. I'm saying, hey, Lord, teach me to fear you. Amen. Teach me to live in the fear of God. And the Bible even says, and we'll move on for time's sake, but the fear of the Lord even prolongeth the days, the Bible says over there in Proverbs chapter 10. Hey, it's just good practical advice. You know, just look at folks that live for God. They live a better life. I mean, sometimes I want to say to people out in the world, I say, do you not understand there's a better life? I mean, not even, you know, forget heaven. And thank God that's on the end of it. Just right now, there's a better way to live. Amen. You know, you're living and blowing your paycheck every week, drinking or gambling up, you know, or beating your kids and, you know, multiple marriages and abuse. I mean, you just look at the devil and the thief cometh but to kill and steal and destroy. And you see that evidence all around you. And I was like, man, there's just the fear of the Lord will keep you out of some of that mess, you know. Hey, I'm not, you know, a policeman pulls up behind me. I'm not, you know, looking over my shoulder, you know. And there's people that live like that every moment of the day. You know, they just don't. And the, you know, fear something. And I'd rather fear the Lord. But I see no fear. And I said, the problem is this stuff's creeping in the church. Well, and you see it. We see it in the way we dress. They see it in the way that we live. We see it in the way we talk. The standards are just get lower and lower. I remember something Dr. Tabb said years ago. And he said, you know, the church was up here. The world was here. He said, so the world's got worse and worse, right? So you would think that the separation between the church and the world would get farther. He said, that's not the case. We've maintained. Now, we're maintaining, but we're trending downward. So we're still keeping some separation from the world, but look where we're at. We're not where we were at. And that's what happened because there's no fear of God, you know. And that's so we're asking the Lord to keep us in the fear of the Lord. Because why? Because we're going to continue this thought. Because no fear, again, and no faith in a believer produces no fruit. Fruitless Christianity. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. We'll move along. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 40. Jesus is speaking here. Flip there in my book. This is when they've been out on the sea and Jesus has came and spoke, peace be still. Y'all recall the story there, one of the storms. Here, we recognize that the storm wasn't the point of all this. It was the process. But it says in verse number 40, and he said unto them, Jesus speaking, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Now, I recognize this is a generation, and my generation, I'm talking about me. Hey, I'm not looking at the guys above me. Thank God for guys like Brother Wayne. They're ahead of us. But Brother Andrew and I, we're looking around our peers in the church, and Brother Stephen, some of us, and I mean, we're in a mess. You know, I'm going to be 40 next month, 40, 30, I'm in that age. Millennials, whatever you want to call them, I don't know where we're at, but you know, the church is in a mess. We don't have no fear of God. We don't have any faith. And Jesus spoke to the disciples. No, these are disciples now. These folks that have traveled with Jesus. I mean, they've seen him do many wonderful works. And here they are in a little storm. And then we're at a bail water, give up. I mean, you know, Lord, don't you care? We're going to die, you know. And I see that in my life sometimes. I mean, I don't know how many times the Lord's blessed and how many times the Lord's provided. And the first little bump comes in the road. No, what am I going to do? It's the end of the world, you know. How's this problem going to come? We don't have enough money or the kid's sick. And the Lord's like, hey, why are you so fearful? You know, faith, you know. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, we're led so many times by, hey, follow me, no fear of God, but we live in fear of what? This fear of the world and this fear of self and the fear of unknown. When God says, hey, if you want to fear something, fear me, but live in faith. Amen. Yeah. You know, but instead, we don't fear God, but we fear everything else. We fear if we don't have enough money. We fear if our family's going to be all right. We fear what about the church is going to do. And that's the fear that we don't want. Well, that's the fear that faith will drive away. Jesus said in Luke 18:8, he said, hey, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, y'all know the verse, shall he find faith on the earth? I wonder sometimes, you know. I know there's some different things going on in that text, but he said, hey, will he find faith? Just look in our generation. Amen. Will he find faith? Look at the church. I thank God for these meetings, man. We had 100, I don't know how many, 100 and some many people were in here Friday night. It was packed. And Brother People's meeting last week, it was the same thing. Folks are coming together because they're looking for God. And they're groups, but they're small groups. It's this little small church and this little small church. And, you know, and thank God for that. But it seems like as a whole, these, and I'm not being negative, but a lot of good churches that I know are somewhat in a state of decline, you know. In general, not in numbers, not in spirit, but in numbers. And so I recognize that. I know we're in the last days, and I know we're in a falling away and all those things. But forget all that. What about me? When the Lord comes, will he find faith in me? Why am I so fearful? Let's just make it personal and forget about all the rest of it. Hey, what about me? Why am I so fearful? Have I not any faith? Can I just trust God? Deuteronomy spoke of a generation of children in whom is no faith. Am I teaching my children to have faith in God, or am I teaching them to have faith in credit card, or faith in cash, or, you know, faith in my ability? Hey, I want them to know God did this. I love to tell my children stories about what God did. They don't need to be involved in all our bills and problems and finance. That's not their children. But I do want them to know, hey, God did this. So there is times when I say, hey, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you how he blessed. Because I want them to know, because I want to build their faith. I love to read them missionary stories. We love to read stories at night before they go to bed about missionaries and see what God did and those things. Because I want them to instill that faith in their heart. Why? Because 2 Corinthians says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Christian life is a life of faith. We know that. We say that. But man, easy preaching, hard practicing sometimes. Amen. But it still says the just shall live by faith. It still says without faith it's impossible to please Him. But so much of my life is lived in the energy of me and what I can do. I wonder how many times I miss out really on what God can do in me doing what I can do. You know, we know the stories. We know God didn't want Isaac. He wanted Abraham's heart. We know all these things about God. But so many times in our life, we're hesitant to really make that step, to make that jump of faith. Hey, it's hard sometimes when God's leading you at a job or a situation. You know, Brother Andrew's in that situation. The Lord's going full-time. That's a step of faith. Amen? It is. And thank God the church is here for him. That's a step of faith. I've been there with my job and been there with, like I said, missions and these things. And I'll tell you what, not that we can test God, but every time I put him to the test, I say he's passed. Amen? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen? Unto him be glory in the church. Amen? Glory to God. Hey, he's looking for some faith. He's looking for some folks that fear God, some folks that just walk by faith, step out on faith, step out on nothing to get a handful of faith. Amen? Trust God. And then he can use those folks to give some fruit. Amen? So let's look at the familiar text of John chapter 15. We'll pull it all together this morning. John chapter 15. As you turn into John chapter 15, I remind you of the story over in Matthew 21. John 15 is where you're headed. You remember the story in Matthew 21, though, where Jesus came and come to the fig tree? He was looking for some fruit. Remember that? And the Bible said when he came, he found nothing thereon but leaves only. You know what? The Lord came looking for fruit. There was no fruit, and then he cursed it. He said, I tell you what, do you want to give me any fruit? Henceforth, from evermore, there'll be no fruit on this tree. And immediately, the fig tree withered away. I've wondered about my life sometimes. I've wondered about my ministry. We preached yesterday about needing that water, about those empty clouds and those dry wells. The same scenario there in Matthew 21, nothing but leaves. I don't want a ministry, a life of nothing but leaves. You know, because I don't fear God, I allow sin to separate me from God. Because I don't have enough faith to step out and trust God in this calling he's put me in, or in this opportunity, or in this area. And because of that, God's hindered. You know, one of the only things I found in the Bible that hindered God was unbelief. Y'all men over there, he said, well, he would have done many mighty works, but he did not because of their unbelief. That's the one thing I've seen that handcuffed God. Now, he can do what he wants to. We know that. God can do whatever he wants to. What I'm saying in your life is just unbelief. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about when we don't have that faith, that fear of God, which comes from the Word of God, by the way. We don't have that faith, which comes from where? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we don't have that faith, and we don't have that fear, then we're Christians that don't produce fruit. And Christ comes looking in our life, and he finds nothing but leaves. They look like they should bear fruit. They ought to bear fruit, but there's no fruit. John 15 tells us all about that. You know that. John chapter 15, about the vine and the branches. Jesus said in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So it sounds to me like just in passing, look at these three verses and we'll be done. He's come inspecting, he's looking for fruit. He says, hey, if the branch don't bear fruit, I'm done with it. I'm doing away with it. He expects, I really believe, for branches to bear fruit. Right? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So the Lord's coming, he's inspecting his vine, he's looking for fruit. He says, all right, no fruit, do away with it. Hey, there's fruit. You know what he's looking for? More fruit. Say, well, I'm bearing some fruit. Good. Now you can bear more fruit. Right? Christ is looking for you not only to bear some fruit, but when Christian life is never standing. If we're staying still in the Christian life, we're backing up. Amen. He's looking for us to do more. Thank God you've had faith, and thank God we live in the fear of God, and thank God you've had some fruit in your life. But hey, Christ wants more fruit. Amen. Hey, it's not over with yet. Hey, now are ye clean, verse 3, through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. How am I going to bear fruit? Abide in him. We're going to have to stay with him. He's going to tell us just a minute. We're going to have to get in that book. We're going to have to walk with God. Hey, you can't bear fruit on your own. Hey, you can try your best. to build up some fruit. We can work ourselves to death. We can go through all the mechanics of ministry. We can do and do and do. And God's not interested in you doing. He's interested in you being. Amen. He said, abide in me. What does a branch really do? Right? He's the vine. We're the branches. The branch just supports the fruit. The life doesn't come from the branch. It comes from the vine. Right? Everything comes from the vine. We're just the channel. Right? God's looking for people that fear God, that are clean, people that got enough faith in God to let him use them so he can flow through them and bear some fruit in their life. But any one of those things can hinder the fruit. No fear of God produces sin in our lives. God cannot work with that. He's not using the dirty vessels. We know that. Right? Sin will separate us from a holy God. No faith, unbelief, God can't work in that life. It's keeping us from bearing fruit. Hey, I don't know about you, but I want God to come to the orchard, the vineyard of my life, and be able to find nothing. Amen. He's done so much for me. He's given me so much. And hey, you know, and it's nothing. And he's doing this. He's not expecting me to do it. He wants to do it through me. And I hope and pray that God in some way can come through and inspect and find maybe just a little bit, just a little piece of fruit, something to give to him for what he's done. Amen. That's what else am I here for? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. If I'm not going to do anything, just as well get on out of here. But if not, and I'm going to breathe God's air and live on his world, then I ought to try to do something to bring honor and glory to him, which is bearing fruit. Amen. Bear some fruit. I am the vine, verse 5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. All right, now we're getting there. We're going from a little fruit. Now we're in that much fruit we talked about. Hey, he was looking for fruit. Then he said more fruit. Now he's saying, hey, more fruit. Much fruit, I'm sorry. This thing's increasing. And what are we doing to increase it? Just abiding in him. Just walking with God. Just staying in this book. And the next verse will tell us that. Let me finish verse 5. For without me, you can do nothing. There it is again. You can't do it. You can't throw a dead branch out there on the ground and get any fruit out of it. It's got to be hooked up. So many of us, we're not hooked up. We're not hooked up to the vine. I'm not saying you're not saved. You know what I'm saying. And when we allow that stuff to hinder us, no fruit's getting barren. We just got some leaves. And we can't do it without him. Hey, I've tried to do it. I've tried to preach without him. We've tried to sing without him. It's no fun. I say, Lord's not in this. And I told the Lord before, Lord, if you're not in this, I'm not in it. I'm like Moses of old, Lord, if you're not going with us, carry us not up hence. I'm not interested in that. Amen. I'm glad to be with you today, but the Lord's not here and he's not helping us. I mean, I could go to my own church. I could sit there and visit with my own friends and family. You know what I'm saying? I love being here, but if we're just going to be a social gathering, we can social gather at the ball field. I'm interested in walking with God and knowing God, and I'm interested in bearing some fruit. Amen? But who needs the fruit? You don't eat your own fruit. Fruit tree don't eat his own fruit. It's for those around us. Amen? The world, who are those folks we started with that don't have any fear of God? The world out there, they're looking to see, they're the ones going to see the fruit, those around us. The fruit's for Christ, but it sustains those around us. You know, I thank God for a Christianity that sustains me, and that's where it starts at. But I want something, what about that well we talked about yesterday, springing up in everlasting life? That'll not only be a blessing to me, but a blessing to those around me. Amen. That's what we're looking for in this Christian life. Something that'll make a difference. Not for me and not for my glory. Not so I can say, look what I did, but everybody can say, look what God did. Amen. Hey, if you can take somebody dumb as me and do that, hey, glory goes to God. Amen. And I thank God for that. And he made a way, verse 6, if, there that if is again. It's always hinging on something. It's hinging on you. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. What does that say to me? That says to me, as a Christian that's not bearing fruit, I'm pretty much worthless. That's a harsh statement. But pointless. It's a pointless Christianity. Now, thank God you're saved. But, you know what I'm saying? What are we doing? What are we here for? What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in White Oak Independent Baptist Church? Get hooked up, amen? Get hooked up to God. Get hooked up to the source. Brother Andrew's an electrician. My dad's an electrician. You know, we can chase these wires and these switches all the way back to the panel, right? And we know the power's there, and we know that it's there, but somebody's got to cut on the switch, right? When you cut on the switch, it makes the circuit, and the power goes through. Amen? And that's what it is with God. We know he's there. He's got all power. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then he sent them out. He said, hey, I got the power, so you don't have to worry about the power. You don't even have to worry about bearing the fruit. He just needs you to turn the switch on, amen? To let him go flow through you. And that's what he's saying here. Just get hooked up on me. How do we do it? Verse 7, if ye abide in me, look at there in those next ones. And my words. Here it comes again. Might in me and my words. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. He said, hey, disciples, you abide in me. You stay in my words. You begin to bear much fruit in your life. He said, you know what? That glorifies God. And so I said, what is our purpose here? Our purpose here in life is not to bear fruit. Our purpose in here is to glorify God. What's the purpose of a Christian is? But bearing fruit is what glorifies God. Hey, you know, somebody said, well, my purpose here is to see folks saved. Well, you can thank God for that. The purpose is to glorify God. Amen. All things were created for His pleasure. Amen. But winning souls does glorify God. Amen. Bearing fruit does glorify God. That's the goal, is to please God and to love on Him. And when we begin to love God and we begin to abide in His words and begin to get thirsty, as I said again yesterday, and hungering, thirsting for God and His Word and His book, and we begin to abide in Him, then God begins to be able to bear this fruit in our lives. And then He says, hey, I can get some glory out of that. Amen. Hey, I can be pleased in that. Because we know what pleases God is His Son. Amen. What pleases God is what God can do through us. It's not us. It's not the energy of the flesh. We don't have anything to give. Amen. No more than I had any righteousness to bring. The best I had, Isaiah said, all of my righteousness. We say that verse all the time. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. So we have to understand that's talking about our righteousness. That's the best we got. The best that we can do, and on our best, on our greatest day, all that I could do is filthy rags. It's a mess. I ain't talking about our bad days. You know? So it's not about what I can do. It's about what He can do through me. People say it's so hard to live the Christian life. Well, it's not about you living. It's about Christ living it through you. Amen. You got to abide in Him. He does the living through me, in me. But I don't know if you've seen the correlation this morning, but fear of God comes from the Word of God. Faith of God comes from the Word of God. Fruit comes from abiding in me, in my words. Amen. But you know why most Christians don't fear God? Most Christians don't have any faith, and most Christians don't bear any fruit. I'm saying most, because this right here stays closed. It stays on the shelf. Hey, even old me sometimes, I'll admit it. I get so busy. You know, I read my little book. I check my mark off sometimes. You know what I mean? I read today. But I'm talking about abiding. Hey, spending some time with God. We had an anniversary here, and the church was so kind to us, and they were blessing these 16 years that my wife and I have been together. Would to God, I know more about my wife now than I did 16 years ago. We spent some time together. Hey, I hate coffee, by the way. I know y'all are coffee drinkers. Drink it all. I'm not a coffee drinker. I hate coffee. And you know what I hate further than that? Starbucks, all right? But you know what? My wife likes that, right? So I can go to Starbucks, and I can swallow my pride, and I order the kind that she likes, right? And I get it just like she likes. Why? Because I know her. I know what she likes. You know? I don't want anything they got in there. But because of her, I know. I don't know anything about coffee, but I know the kind she wants. Why? Because I know her, and I love her, and I want, and I've tried to invest into her. And that's the way God is. Do we know God? Do we know what He likes? Amen. Do we know what He wants? We know it when we get in the book. Amen. So the Lord said to me, hey, no fear, no faith produces no fruit. Amen. I want to be a person that fears God. I want to be a person that can trust God. Amen. And I want to be a person that has some fruit that brings honor and glory to God. Amen. I want my family to honor and glorify God. I want my life. I want my job. And all of that starts, I really believe, as men. We've had a family conference, the preacher preached all those things. Hey, it all starts with us and our walk with God. Amen. And our time in this book. Amen. Thank God my wife loves God. My children love God. But what about me? Amen. I'm the head of the home. I'm supposed to be the teaching priest of my home. I'm supposed to be the one. Hey, they're counting on me to get in my book. They're counting on me to know God and to walk with God. And we're busy, and we work jobs, and we do all those things. And like I said, I understand. If I get up in the morning, and if I mess up and check an email, next thing you know, I'm 2 hours in. And the day's just over, and I'm like, hold on. This is God's time. So what do I got to do? I got to get up earlier. I got to do something. I got to make an effort. Why? Because I want to please God, and I want to bear fruit, and it's so hard. Hey, trips like this are hard. You're in a hotel with all your family. I'm trying to get somewhere in the corner. They had a closet in this hotel. It's funny, we've all been in the closet this week. That's the only quiet place I can get. We take turns. My daughter's in there, and my wife's in there praying. I'm in the closet, you know, because it's the only quiet place to get. But, you know, got to get somewhere because we can't make it without Him. And so I just encourage you folks, what you already know, hey, Get in that book. Love that book. Amen. Get to know God. Get to walking with God. And let God produce that fear in our lives. Amen. Let God produce that faith in Him. And then through that, God will be able to put some fruit in our lives that will make a difference. Amen. Something that will bound. Something that will stick with us. Richard.